Was it originally supposed to have three movements or four instead of just those two? We may never know. That's all we have of Franz Schubert's Symphony No. 8, the Unfinished Symphony, the opening piece in tonight's Topeka Symphony Concert. Their special guest this evening is a trombone player named Denson Paul Pollard. In addition to playing in the Pitt Orchestra for the Metropolitan Opera House, in New York City, Dr. Pollard is also a professor of music at Indiana's Jacobs School of Music. Here he is now with the Topeka Symphony to play a 2007 bass trombone concerto by Elizabeth Rahm, who was born in 1945. It's in three movements.
Thank you. Thank you.
With trombone soloist Denson Paul Pollard, soloist in the 2007 Concerto for Bass Trombone by Canadian composer Elizabeth Rahm, with the Topeka Symphony Orchestra, directed by Kyle Wiley Pick. While we normally don't think of the trombone as a super romantic sounding instrument, this next piece may change your mind. By American composer William Grant Still. This is a romance for trombone and strings from 1954.
Thank you.
featuring the strings of the Topeka Symphony, plus their guest soloist this evening here in White Concert Hall at Washburn, Denson Paul Pollard. Dr. Pollard took a break this weekend from the Metropolitan Opera Orchestra and from the Jacobs School of Music at Indiana University and his group, the Long Island Brass Company, to come spend a weekend in Topeka, to come join the Topeka Symphony for these two pieces featuring trombone. Created by William Grant Still, we've just heard A Romance for Trombone and Strings. And to conclude the concert, the Topeka Symphony Orchestra played the Corelia Suite by Jean Sibelius. to conclude tonight's concert by the Topeka Symphony Orchestra from the Corelia Suite by Finnish composer Jean Sibelius. The Topeka Symphony, directed by Kyle Wiley Pickett, from their Putting on the Ritz concert season. To check out their current concert offerings, topekasymphony.org. Thanks for joining us for the concert, which was recorded by Kansas Public Radio by our sound engineer, Chubb Smith. I'm Cordelia Brown with Classics Live. Broadcasts of Classics Live are a production of Kansas Public Radio. Another KPR recording of the Topeka Symphony, this time with John Strickler conducting, and with soprano Sheila Judson from Saturday, March 5th, 2005. That was something by Barbara Sherrill called Mr. Beethoven, Mr. Bach, and Mr. Brahms. This has been Classics Live from KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
You are listening to Kansas Public Radio. Support for Classics Live on Kansas Public Radio comes from Theater Lawrence, presenting Dial M for Murder, a noir-inspired suspenseful thriller showing April 17th through 18th and 23rd through 26th. Ticket info and more is available at theaterlawrence.com. From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find classical music and NPR News, Kansas Public Radio. We are KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. You can listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton.
Integrity, good engine, good control.
We show the same. Feels great up here.
Astronauts on the Artemis II mission have been circling Earth for the last day, but now they've blasted their main engine for 6 minutes, leaving Earth's orbit in the pivotal move that puts their Orion capsule on the way to the moon. It's the first time any human has been on the trajectory in more than a half a century, and it includes risks like cosmic radiation beyond the protection of Earth's magnetic field. The trip to the moon will take roughly 4 days. FEMA lost hundreds of workers in February. NPR's Rebecca Hersher reports new data shows a trend of job cuts at the agency.
The Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, lost 356 workers in February, according to the federal government's Office of Personnel Management. In all, FEMA has lost more than 2,500 employees since last September. Trump administration officials have repeatedly called for FEMA to be drastically cut and moved to eliminate FEMA jobs, including in offices that directly help survivors of hurricanes, wildfires, and other disasters. FEMA is part of the Department of Homeland Security. At his Senate confirmation hearing, new DHS Secretary Mark Wayne Mullen argued that cuts can make FEMA more efficient. Rebecca Hersher, NPR News.
Today is the anniversary of what President Trump called Liberation Day when he ordered double-digit tariffs on just about every country in the world. He promised those tariffs would usher in a new golden age of stronger factories, lower prices, and a smaller trade deficit. But U.S. factories lost 89,000 jobs, inflation is higher, and the trade deficit actually widened last year. The Supreme Court struck down Trump's use of an emergency power to levy tariffs. Businesses are looking for about $166 billion in refunds. The Pentagon and other defendants are appealing a preliminary injunction against blacklisting the AI company Anthropic. NPR's John Ruich reports on the dispute over how the military can use AI.
Anthropic says it does not want its AI used for autonomous weapons or mass surveillance of Americans. The Pentagon says it's up to the military to decide how to use the technology, not the company. It labeled Anthropic a supply chain risk, and President Trump ordered federal agencies to stop using its products. A federal judge in San Francisco last week ordered a preliminary injunction against the moves. She said the measures do not appear directed at the government's stated national security interests and instead look like punishment. The Pentagon and other defendants argued in court that Anthropic's actions rendered it untrustworthy. John Ruich, NPR News.
Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth has asked the top uniformed member of the Army, Chief of Staff of the Army General Randy George, to step down and immediately retire. That's according to an official not authorized to speak publicly. It's unclear who will replace George. Stocks overcame early losses today to close mixed. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from FJC, a foundation of donor-advised funds, working to maximize the impact of charitable giving and to create customized philanthropic solutions. Learn more at fjc.org. You're listening to Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate, April 2nd. The stars of Spica may be headed for a breakup. One of the two stars is likely to explode as a supernova. That may send the stars careening into the galaxy on their own. Spica is the brightest star of Virgo. It rises just above the moon early this evening. The system consists of two big, heavy stars. The primary star, Spica A, is about 10 times the mass of the sun. Spica B is about 7 times the sun's mass. The stars are so close together that they whirl around each other once every 4 days. Within a few million years, Spica A will consume all the nuclear fuel in its core. The core will collapse, probably forming a neutron star, an object up to twice the mass of the sun, but only as big as a city. Its outer layers then will blast into space at a few percent of the speed of light, a supernova. The companion star should survive, although it might lose some gas from its surface. But what happens next is tricky. Supernovas sometimes explode asymmetrically. The blast can be off-centered. That can give the neutron star a big kick, and the neutron star will be only a fraction as massive as the original star. That means its gravitational grip on its companion will be much weaker. The neutron star could zip off at high speed, perhaps fast enough to escape the galaxy. And even if that doesn't happen, the stars are likely to move farther apart. A bigger gap between these impressive stars. Our web address is stardate.org. For the University of Texas McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
the overture to Countess Maritska by Hungarian composer Imre Kalman on Kansas Public Radio. It's the Cincinnati Pops Orchestra, Eric Kunzel, conducting. That was one of Kalman's most popular works, part of a show that had an extended run on Broadway in 1926. Support for classical music on KPR comes from the Topeka Symphony, presenting The Clown, Saturday, April 11th, featuring Stravinsky's Petrushka, Esmail's Remember, and Tchaikovsky's Violin Concerto. Information and tickets available at topekasymphony.org. No clowning around this evening. It's Felix Mendelssohn's String Quartet, number 3. He dedicated this piece to his good friend, Crown Prince Oscar of Sweden. Mendelssohn's String Quartet, performed here by the Aurora String Quartet on Kansas Public Radio.
Thank you. Thank you.
Felix Mendelssohn, played by the Aurora String Quartet on Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas, we're 91.5 Lawrence and 89.7 Emporia. Online at kansaspublicradio.org. Support for classical music on KPR comes from the University of Kansas, serving Kansas and the world through the development of new treatments for cancer, Alzheimer's disease, and more. Information about KU's research is at ku.edu. And from Blue Collar Press. Blue Collar Press has been helping businesses, musicians, and artists, big and small, turn ideas into promotional merchandise for 20 years. For more information, visit bluecollarpress.com. Good evening, I'm Kay McIntyre. Coming up, the love for three oranges. It's a zesty love story about a sweet young prince cursed by a sour witch. He's forced to travel to distant lands in search of three oranges, each one containing a princess. Will one of them turn out to be his main squeeze? Oof, you can blame all those bad puns on the Opera Philadelphia. Speaking of bad puns, we've heard plenty this week during KPR's Hive Drive. Become a sustaining member today at just $12.50 a month, and we'll send you our Bee tote bag, designed by our very own Emily DeMarchi. Make your pledge now at kansaspublicradio.org. the Montreal Symphony Orchestra, Sergei Prokofiev, The Love of Three Oranges on Kansas Public Radio. Support for classical music on KPR comes from the Dole Institute of Politics, hosting historian and author Rick Atkinson at the Dole Lecture, April 13th, 7 p.m. at the Lead Center of Kansas. Tickets are required. More at doleinstitute.org. From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find classical music and NPR news, Kansas Public Radio. We're KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org. And while you're there, make your pledge in support of classical music locally hosted on Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Attorney General Pam Bondi is out at the Justice Department after just 14 months on the job. President Trump announced the shakeup in a post on social media. NPR's Ryan Lucas reports.
In a post online, Trump called Bondi a great American patriot and loyal friend who oversaw what he called a massive crackdown on crime. But Bondi had come under bipartisan criticism for handling of the files related to convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. She's also been pressed by Trump to aggressively go after the president's perceived political enemies. And under Bondi's leadership, the Justice Department has investigated and even prosecuted some of Trump's critics. But those cases have foundered in court or before grand juries. Now Bondi is out, and Trump says Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche, a former personal lawyer for Trump, will take over leading the department for now on an acting basis. Ryan Lucas, NPR News, Washington.
Iran fired more missiles at Israel and Gulf Arab states today. That comes even as President Trump claims the threat from the country has been nearly eliminated. Iran's strikes and control of the Strait of Hormuz have disrupted the world's energy supplies. Britain held a call today with nearly three dozen countries, but not the U.S., about how to reopen the strait once the fighting is over. A drone maker backed by President Trump's two oldest sons is trying to win contracts with U.S. allies under threat by Iran. The company, Powerus, is holding demonstrations in several Gulf countries of how its drone interceptors could help them ward off the attacks. Powerus recently struck a deal that will bring on the Trump brothers, Eric and Donald Jr., as stakeholders. The Trumps have expanded their business interests rapidly beyond hotels and golf courses in a little over a year since their father took office again. The Teamsters Union is celebrating a win against Amazon. The National Labor Relations Board has ordered the e-commerce giant to recognize its union at a Staten Island warehouse and begin contract negotiations. NPR's Andrea Hsu has more.
This order comes 4 years after workers at an Amazon warehouse on Staten Island ran a grassroots campaign to unionize and shocked corporate America when they won. But Amazon fought back by challenging the results of the union election and refusing to sit down for contract negotiations. In 2024, the Amazon labor union joined forces with the Teamsters and continued to press the case. Now the National Labor Relations Board, with its two new Trump appointees, has found that Amazon violated federal law by refusing to recognize and bargain with the union. Still, the board has no power to force Amazon to start bargaining. If Amazon does not comply with the order, the board's general counsel must ask a federal court to intervene. Andrea Hsu, NPR News.
Stocks overcame early losses to close mixed today. The S&P 500 rose a fraction. The Dow dropped a tenth of a percent. The stock market will be closed tomorrow for Good Friday. It's NPR. Brazilian banks are now required to check if a property is listed in government satellite data for potential illegal deforestation when applying for credit. Farmers can challenge flagged properties by providing legal documents or restoration plans. The finance ministry says the new rule aligns rural credit with conservation policies. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is warning of an illicit drug that's increasingly found alongside fentanyl in some parts of the country. As NPR's Ping Huang reports, it's causing dangerous withdrawal symptoms.
Dr. Michael Lynch is an ER physician based in Pittsburgh. He started seeing overdoses involving methamphetamine some 2 years ago. The powerful sedative is often mixed with fentanyl, but fentanyl overdose drugs don't work on it.
So people would start breathing again, but they wouldn't wake up, even after people got naloxone or Narcan.
Patients also came in delirious, agitated, with very high heart rates, and not responding to typical medications.
So what we were seeing is tenfold increases in people needing ICU care for withdrawal.
According to the CDC, the drug is most prevalent in the Northeast U.S., though it's also showing up more in the Midwest and the South. Ping Huang, NPR News.
U.S. egg prices have fallen 60% from last year's record highs, making it easier for consumers to fill their Easter baskets and Passover Seder plates. Retail prices averaged $2.50 per dozen in February, compared to $6.23 per dozen in March of 2025. Bird flu was to blame for last year's spike. Farmers have replenished poultry flocks they lost. You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Lilly Endowment, a private foundation supporting NPR's coverage of religion and spirituality, and Jarl and Pamela Mohn, focusing on civil liberties, foster youth, public radio, and the arts. Thank you.
The late pianist Cedar Walton wrote so many great tunes, and that was one of them. Ojos de Rojo to open tonight's Jazz in the Night. It's our Vinyl Vault Hour, as we do Thursday night in this 9 o'clock hour. And that is from an album simply called Cedar Walton, The Trio, with bassist David Williams and drummer Smile and Billy Higgins from 1985 on the Red Records label from Italy. I'm Bob McWilliams. Great to be here with you. We've got music from the debut album of one of the great big bands of the last part of the 20th century, the Toshiko Akiyoshi Lutabakan Big Band. That's next. Tenor sax man Stanley Turrentine from 1964 and a terrific Elvin Jones album by the drummer in 1982. To some of the music on the way, and support for Jazz in the Night on KPR comes from Love Garden Sounds, buying and selling compact discs, vinyl records, stereo equipment, and more at 822 Mass Street in Lawrence. More at lovegardensounds.com. Well, we're going to turn to the RCA Victor label, which did not treat the Toshiko Akiyoshi Lutabakan Big Band in the best way. A lot of their music was released only in Japan, but this one came out here as well, and it's their first album of what would be one of the great big bands, as I mentioned, of their era. Pianist, composer, arranger Toshiko Akiyoshi, her husband tenor sax stalwart Lutabakan. The album Kogan and Toshiko's piece called Henpecked Old Man here on KPR. Thank you. Toshiko Akiyoshi, Lutaback and Big Band. The LP from 1974 called Kogan, the debut album of the Toshiko Akiyoshi, Lutaback and Big Band, Toshiko's piece, Henpecked Old Man. This band drew upon many of the very best musicians in the LA scene, and a couple of them feature there along with tenor sax man Lutaback and with trumpeter Bobby Shue and alto saxophonist Dick Spencer. Stanley Turrentine's next drummer, Elvin Jones, is on the way, and we'll hear his brothers, Hank and Thad, as part of a Frank West LP later this hour. Right now, Stanley Turrentine, an album that has just been put back out in the last couple of years, I guess 23, as part of the Tone Poet reissue series from Blue Note. It's called Mr. Natural, Stanley Turrentine, and a piece called Wahoo, also known as Stanley's Blues. Thank you. getting in a good groove there with tenor sax man Stanley Turrentine, the 1964 recording for Blue Note, and a really very fine reissue of this, the Tone Poet series from Blue Note a couple of years back, 3 years back, I guess, with Wahoo, the tune, also known as Stanley Blues, Stanley Turrentine, tenor sax, Lee Morgan, trumpet, McCoy Tyner, piano, Bob Cranshaw on bass, Ray Barreto, conga drums, and drummer Elvin Jones. And we'll hear one of drummer Elvin Jones' own albums next here on KPR. And after that, we've got Frank West, very fine tenor sax and flute player. We'll hear him playing tenor on one of his own albums. And we'll hear him playing flute with the Count Basie Orchestra. That and more is on the way here on Kansas Public Radio All Vinyl Jazz Hour. We're here and we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, 91.5 Lawrence, 89.7 Emporia, online at kansaspublicradio.org. The album Earth Jones on the Palo Alto Jazz label, 1982. And a terrific Elvin Jones composition called Three Chord Molly. Special guest, saxophonist David Liebman on KPR.
Thank you.
drummer Elvin Jones, his piece Three Card Molly, the LP on the short-lived but terrific Palo Alto Jazz label 1982 recording called Earth Jones. Dave Liebman playing soprano sax, George Moran, the bassist, and Kenny Kirkland at the piano. We've got Elvin's brothers Thad on trumpet and Hank Jones on piano on the next album from saxophonist Frank West. Support for Jazz in the Night on KPR comes from Love Garden Sounds, a vinyl record and CD store sponsoring this vinyl vault hour on Jazz in the Night. Store details and buying policy at lovegardensounds.com. Frank West from the album I Hear You Talk, in this recording 1959 for Savoy Records. And let's hear that title tune. Frank West, along with Thad Jones on trumpet, Curtis Fuller trombone, Charlie Foulkes berry sax, Hank Jones piano, Eddie Jones, not one of the Jones brothers, on bass, and Gus Johnson on drums. Thank you. Count Basie Orchestra, the 1964 LP Basie Land on Verve Records. Billy Byers wrote all the music for this one. He called that one Sassy. It featured the flute playing of Frank West along with trumpeter Al Ahrens and the tenor saxophonist Frank Foster. We started off hearing Frank West playing tenor, a 1959 recording for Savoy Jazz called I Hear Ya Talkin'. We've got two tenor saxophonists that work together quite a bit, Johnny Griffin and Eddie Lockjaw Davis next. Support for Trail Mix on KPR comes from Spider Art Constructors, offering custom concrete patio work across the KPR listing area. More information about available services at Spider Art, Spider with a Y, SpiderArtConstructors.com. Here's Eddie Lockjaw Davis and Johnny Griffin. Thank you. Saxophonist Lockjaw Davis and Johnny Griffin. The Tad Dameron tune Good Bait and Lockjaw, the first soloist, a 1976 2-LP reissue set called The Toughest Tenors, had tracks from five different recordings that originated an album called Griffin Lock, recorded in 1960. We're here and we are, Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3, listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. More jazz after the news. Support for news on KPR comes from the Commons at KU, presenting the Kenneth Spencer Lecture with Patricia Ononiwu Kaishin, author of Forest Euphoria, The Abounding Queerness of Nature, 7 p.m. Tuesday, April 7th at Liberty Hall. Tickets at thecommons.ku.edu. The last night of our spring membership drive, and I've had so many great comments about people enjoying the Vinyl Hour, which we started a few months back. And I really hope that if you're a fan of the Vinyl Hour and you're not yet a member, you go and get your contribution in, become a sustaining member at whatever level works for you, or a one-time contribution, and you'll get the chance to say, hey, I really like the Jazz Vinyl Hour, and you can do all of that at kansaspublicradio.org. Right after the news, pianist Ray Bryant here on KPR's Jazz in the Night.
Live from NPR News, I'm Giles Snyder. Attorney General Pam Bondi is out at the Justice Department. President Trump made the announcement on social media today. NPR's Carrie Johnson reports Deputy Todd Blanch will serve in the acting role for now.
In a post on social media, President Trump calls Pam Bondi a great American patriot and loyal friend and says she'll transition to a job in the private sector. Trump has blamed Bondi for mishandling law enforcement files related to convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein, and he's demanded the Justice Department do more to go after his perceived political enemies. Bondi presided over a huge exodus at the DOJ. The group Justice Connection, which supports current and former justice workers, says DOJ's independence, integrity, and workforce have degraded more under her leadership than any other time during the department's history. Todd Blanch, one of Trump's former personal lawyers, will run the Justice Department on an acting basis. Carrie Johnson, NPR News, Washington.
Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth has asked Army Chief of Staff Randy George to step down. A Pentagon spokesman confirmed the move in a statement, saying General George is retiring, effective immediately. The Pentagon has not given a reason for George's departure. NASA's Artemis II mission with its crew of four astronauts now on a path to the moon. The crew fired a thruster that sent the spacecraft on the trajectory that will take the astronauts around the moon and back, as Central Florida Public Media's Brendan Byrne reports.
The spacecraft named Integrity fired its engine for 5 minutes and 50 seconds, conducting a maneuver called a translunar injection.
Integrity looks like a good burn. We're confirming.
Integrity copies.
The engine burn now puts the spacecraft and its crew of four on a free return trajectory, where it will fly around the moon and then come back home at the end of its roughly 10-day mission. With this trajectory, it's expected that the Artemis II mission will surpass the record for the farthest distance a human has traveled from Earth at over 248,000 miles, set by Apollo 13. Artemis II is a key test flight in NASA's lunar ambitions, aiming to land astronauts on the moon by 2028. For NPR News, I'm Brendan Byrne in Orlando.
The Trump administration is designating microplastics and pharmaceuticals as contaminants in the nation's drinking water. Here's NPR's Will Stone.
The Environmental Protection Agency is placing microplastics and pharmaceuticals on what's known as the contaminant candidate list, alongside other chemicals like PFAS. The list gets updated every 5 years. The action doesn't require the agency to move forward with regulations, though it could set the stage. EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin said it was a landmark step, but some environmental groups pushed back, saying the administration is doing this even as it works to unravel regulations on chemicals in the environment. The administration also said it would be investing more than $140 million in a research effort to study microplastics in the human body. Will Stone, NPR News.
And you're listening to NPR News. President Trump is planning to bypass Congress when it comes to the shutdown of the Homeland Security Department. In a social media post Thursday, Trump said he will soon sign an order to temporarily pay all DHS employees who have gone without paychecks during the shutdown, which has reached 48 days. He made a similar move to resume paying TSA agents. In the Democratic Republic of Congo, there's a kind of fish that can scale a 50-foot rock wall behind a waterfall. Researchers say it's the first time the behavior has been documented in Africa. Here's reporter Ari Daniel.
Pacifique Kiwele Mutambala, a PhD student at the Université de Lubumbashi, spent a few rainy seasons at the waterfall where he saw thousands of these upwardly mobile fish called shell ears.
The first time I was very excited, yes, very excited.
CT scans revealed their front fins have an array of single-celled hooks, which they use to grip the rock. The fish alternate between wriggling rapidly upwards and mostly resting. The entire ascent takes almost 10 hours. Mutambala says the findings have conservation implications because cutting off the water supply to this waterfall to fill a dam or for irrigation could harm the fish. For NPR News, I'm Ari Daniel.
Japan's benchmark Nikkei stock average is rallying in Friday trading, up 1%, as stocks in the U.S. overcame early losses to finish with slim gains and closing out the first winning week since the start of the Iran war. Wall Street will be closed for Good Friday. I'm Giles Snyder, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Lemelson Foundation, working to harness the power of invention and innovation to accelerate climate action and improve lives around the world. Learn more at lemelson.org. This is NPR.
Pianist Ray Bryant opening this hour of KPR's Jazz in the Night, a great Horace Silver tune called Doodlin', a 1998 album called Ray's Tribute to His Jazz Piano Friends, including their Horace Silver. Ray Drummond played bass when Art Harper was the drummer. New music from the Dave Sloniker Big Band's on the way. We've got a great trio album by pianist James Williams, some early work from bassist Christian McBride, and up next, pianist Carolina Calvacci. She plays at the Blue Room in Kansas City tomorrow night. This month, the KPR Community Spotlight is on KC Farm School in Kansas City, Kansas, operating a regenerative vegetable and education farm connecting people of all ages, ancestries, and abilities to land, soil, food, and community. Details at kcfarmschool.org. The Colombian pianist Carolina Calvacci will lead a quartet doing two shows, 8:30 and 10 tomorrow night at the Blue Room in Kansas City. Let's hear her right now and her piece called El Sotorreno on KPR. pianist from Colombia, Carolina Calvache, and the title track to her album, Soterreño, that piece, El Soterreño, with the wonderful drummer from Mexico, Antonio Sanchez, plus trumpeter Michael Rodriguez, saxophonist Gilo Shaw, bassist Todd Glashnik, and drummer Ludwig Alfonso. Again, Carolina Calvache at the Blue Room in Kansas City tomorrow night. She'll lead a quartet, two shows, 8:30 and 10 p.m. Pianist James Williams is on the way, bassist Christian McBride, and up next, some new big band music from the Dave Sloniker Big Band. Support for Jazz in the Night on Kansas Public Radio comes from the Lead Center, welcoming soprano Relay Fleming, presenting Voice of Nature, the Anthropocene, Friday, April 17th, 7:30 p.m., tickets at lead.ku.edu. There's been a whole bunch of really fine big band albums come out already this year. This is one of them, the Dave Sloniker Big Band. Shifty Paradigms is the album. And Dave wrote most of the pieces, and he arranged a couple of others, like his arrangement here of Bye Bye Blues, the Dave Sloniker Big Band on KPR.